here's kind of like the three rules I have for like thinking about how to get wealthier.
You're listening to the Next Generation Podcast,
weekly interviews with the most interesting and successful 20-somethings out there.
What's up, everyone? Connor here, co-host of the Next Generation Podcast, and I wanted to go and record today's episode real quick because I think it might be helpful just to kind of like reset and level set with a lot of people who are younger and looking to make money and feel like it got really difficult and like the game got turned on to hard mode these past couple of months. When we first started this podcast, the entire thing was designed around like, how do we go and find people who are young and making money and like crushing it and kind of just showing that you can make money in more ways that are outside of just a traditional W-2. Like, you don't just have to graduate college and get a job. Like, there's kids out there pressure washing, cleaning houses, starting software companies, running agencies. Like, there's a lot of cool ways to make money. Now, the fact is, I'm recording this, I guess it just turned to Q3. It's July 1st today, 2022. And I know that many of you who are like pretty big into investing, whether that's like crypto or just stocks or whatever, like trying to run companies, probably have had like a pretty not fun, not super awesome last 6 months, probably lost a lot of money. And I know I'm certainly definitely not making as much money as I used to back in like 2020 or 2021 when it comes to the investment side of things either. And so I wanted to record a quick episode in terms of like how I want to kind of like zoom out and like how I think about the idea of like generating wealth and like making cash younger at a younger age like this, and then also like well into like 30s, 40s, 50s, etc. And I know like caveat to all of this, like if you're someone who's my age, this might be pretty relatable. If you're someone who's like 45, I don't know if this will be as relatable, just being totally candid. Like I'm 25 and I'll be honest, like the last time that the market turned really south, I was 11. And so like part of being this generation who's lived through like this 14-year like bull run, I just totally understand that like I'm probably systematically trained to think that like stocks only go up and crypto goes to the moon and all of this ridiculous stuff. But it's just tough for me to sit back and like be in these group chats with friends where I'm consistently hearing like, I think I got a message on Telegram the other day where someone's like, dude, I lost $75,000 in like 16 hours. And I know other friends who have lost substantially more than that over the past couple of months. And so I think that this episode will be a quick one, but it might also just be helpful for you guys to kind of just think about like maybe zooming out from like this 2 year period we've had where like it seems like everyone's making money and maybe go into like a little bit more of a systems oriented approach towards getting rich, getting wealthy, staying wealthy, whatever, however you want to think about it. Here's kind of like the three rules I have for like personally myself thinking about how to get wealthier. So the first thing that I kind of think about is that I never want to get wealthy through investments, or at least not try to go and get rich through investments. I guess wealth and rich can kind of be defined as two separate things. But in my mind, I'm not trying to go and use investments to get rich. I think that cash flow and generating cash flow on a monthly, weekly, whatever basis you want to think about is how you go and get rich. I think some people out there might think like this is no shit obvious advice, but like the fact is that there's totally people out there who have made fucking like $400,000 off of Dogecoin and like some people who turned $100 into millions of dollars off of like Shiba Inu and saw all their investments go up and felt like they were kind of like a little fat cat mode, like a little Scrooge McDuck, whatever the guy was that was like diving into a bunch of gold like these past couple of years. And so I think what's helpful to think about during these times of maybe more bear markets, more recessions, pullbacks, is to try to go and focus on the things that you can control. You know, if I go and buy $500,000 worth of Bitcoin tomorrow, like I can't control what the price does. And so I have really little, like little basis on like how this speculative asset will go and perform. Now, does that mean that I'm not bullish on Bitcoin? No, certainly not. It just means that like, I want to go and control and know exactly how much money is coming into my bank account on a monthly basis. And so I think if your goal is to go and get wealthy and your goal is to have this $5, $10, $50 million net worth, the way to go and begin thinking about that early on is not how do I go and get to 1 million net worth or 2 million net worth. It should probably be trying to reframe that in your brain of how can I go and get to $10,000 hitting my bank account every single month? How can I get to $25,000 hitting my bank account every single month? How can I get to 75? You get the point. And just kind of like keep going up from there, right? I don't think people should be setting net worth goals as much as they should be setting cash flow goals. So I think that's maybe just a really helpful way to kind of go and think about this early on is like if you're freaking portfolio just dropped from like 3.5 million to like 700,000, it's like, okay, I can't control that. I can control the investments I pick, but I certainly can't control like what's going to happen. So I'm going to go and own these things that I'm not going to sell, but I am going to go and focus on how can I go and make up the difference in that, in my earnings and my income, et cetera. Whether that's like, you know, you're making $120,000 at your job and you start a side hustle that's paying you an additional $4,000 per month or whatever it is, like try to go and find a way to go and increase your earnings. And what I mean by that is, you know, cash flow just gives you optionality. Like when you are totally in the market, you're totally invested into everything, you just don't have the same level of optionality. Like you feel like the world is coming down, but you know, the way I would maybe think about it is this, it's like you have $1 million in the market and you lose $200,000 over the course of like 2 months, but you know that you make $50,000 every single month, it's not that big of a deal, right? And so the more that you can go and increase your cash flow, the less these investments tend to go and impact you. And it still hurts, but it just hurts a little bit less. So I would definitely go and focus there. And I think that's why like people like building businesses, because cash flow also means equity. And so I think that's kind of like the next point I wrote down here is like the source of the cash flow doesn't matter, in the sense that like if you are making $20,000 per month at your job and it's $240,000 a year, like that's fantastic. Like that's really good cash flow. I'm not knocking on anyone's job here. But one thing to maybe think about too is like if your business is profiting 10 grand per month and you're making 20 grand per month at your job, which one's better? And I think the way to probably think about it is that the business is still probably a little bit better if you plan on selling, because it's a difference between $120,000 per year when it comes to cash flow. But if you sell at like a 3x multiple, great. Now after year one, you can make $360,000. And that's not including the $120,000 in cash flow. So I might be getting too numbers oriented here, but that's probably just like rule number one in terms of how I'm thinking about getting rich, building wealth, whatever. It's like, I want to focus on my cash flow, not my investments, not my net worth, not any of that kind of stuff. And I think that's why a lot of our episodes here like kind of really focus on things like that, like e-commerce founders, agency owners, SaaS builders, community builders, small businesses, like all of these people that we're highlighting are showing you ways to generate more cash flow. So you know, that's kind of the goal of the podcast, try to show you how you can go and build that up and focus on like upgrading monthly, right? If I can go and make $11,000 this month, can I make $12,000 in Q4 and Q3, whatever? Cool. So investments aren't necessarily how you get rich. Cash flow is how you get rich. Second rule of thumb for me personally, again, this is all anecdotal, is like investments are meant to compound your cash. And so like grain of salt here, like there's literally millions of people who like turned $100 to $300,000 and got ridiculously lucky on a lot of this stuff. Not talking to those people. I know that there's exceptions to this rule. Just think that this is a no frills, no luck kind of approach. And so when I think about like, great, my cash flows up, my burn, my lifestyle burn is down, right? Whatever I spend per month. Now I have this delta of this amount of money. Where can I go and put this? Should I keep it in cash for opportunities down the road? Or should I go and be investing it? And there's hundreds of ways and way smarter investors than myself that'll go and tell you where to go and park that cash, right? What you can be a limited partner in real estate deals. You can invest in equities, indexes, crypto. You can be a general partner in real estate deals, which Gio and I are doing pretty often, like buying our own storage facilities, like crazy stuff. You know, you can fund lawsuits. It's just ridiculous. You can do private business investments. Like there's a lot of places that you can go and park your cash. And so this is not investment advice. This is just how I see the world when it comes to business and growing wealth. Is the goal of these investments, and you can decide which is cool, is either one, focus on appreciation, which is like when you're investing in some things like cryptos or even like public equities that maybe don't pay a dividend. You know, your entire philosophy there is like, I think this is going to go up. I'm not going to get paid from this. I'm not going to get more cash flow from this, but I think that this will go up. And the second option in terms of where you can go put that money is cash flow, or I guess like the second goal would be cash flow. And so like bringing it back to rule number one, and I'm just sharing my own personal advice here, is like, I think that I like the cash flow play better. Not at the expense of like losing an asset's value, right? Like if I buy, just to use easy to understand examples, if I buy $100 stock that pays me a $4 dividend every single month, and actually I don't even really invest in dividend stocks either. So like this is maybe a bad example, but $4 dividend every single year, right? Like that's cash flow, but I'm not gonna do that if I don't think that the company is good. And I think that the $100 is gonna be worth $80, you know, 2 years from now, right? Because no one's really winning in that case. So you want to go and find something that either holds or maintains its value and goes up in value, right? Appreciation, pretty often that's why people like real estate so much, especially if you can buy in like a supply constrained market and a pretty hot market, it'll go up in value and it'll pay you on a monthly basis. So I like to kind of default back to that cash flow play. I think this is where people like dividend stocks on YouTube and all that kind of jazz too. And I think also like for what it's worth, the richest people out there, and when you're really thinking about like, what are they investing in, right? What's Buffett and Elon and Bezos? Like, what are they all putting their money into? all of them are really putting their money back into businesses and businesses that they can kind of control a little bit more. They're not just necessarily saying like, let me buy one share of Starbucks. They're saying like, let me go and buy like 100% of Twitter or like, let me go and buy 100% of Whole Foods. They're buying stuff that like they know that they can go manipulate and grow that way. And I know no one here that's listening to this podcast, or I don't think anyone is buying public equities or buying entire companies, but like you can buy things that can pay you on a pretty consistent basis. The two probably lowest barrier entries would be dividend stocks, I guess maybe bonds, but probably not like real estate, things like that. And so, you know, you look at Buffett, Berkshire literally just goes, buys businesses that pay them dividends. Elon buys Twitter, Bezos, Whole Foods, Washington Post, et cetera. Like the richest people in the world are taking the cash that they're earning and they're buying more cash flowing assets. So just a quick little side note and way to think about that. And you know, the big part of the investment side of things is like having some kind of control. Right? A few months back, I moved most of my positions out of crypto just because like I realized like it wasn't that fun for me just to like watch like a little ticker on Coinbase. I wanted to go and like actually own something that like, because of the activities that I did or somebody on my team did, it had a outsized return that I can go and have an impact on. So I don't have to worry about, you know, some kind of scandal happening at a separate company. I can worry about my own basis. Now I am in a bunch of, you know, crappy high cash flow in real estate that would make less crappy every single month. And it pays me on a monthly basis, which is cool. So second rule of thumb when it comes to wealth creation, you know, you got rule number one, increase your income on a monthly basis. Think about cash flow, not net worth. And then second rule of thumb for me is park your cash flow into places that make you more cash flow. And so maybe that's a little bit obvious, but that's how I think about it. Last kind of like rule of thumb here. And the third one is like apply leverage where you see fit. And for what it's worth, big caveat here, like you can do steps one and two and be super fucking rich by the time you're like the 30, 40, 50, 60, and honestly, even earlier, if you pick the right opportunity vehicles. Now this is where people can get in trouble, but it's also where like you can just like help smooth along the ride and make you more money quicker. So there's about a lot of different types of leverage that you can use. Financial, this is basically like if I'm buying an $800,000 duplex, can I go and put $200,000 down and use the bank's money to go and get $600,000? There's content, which I'll actually come back to in a second. There's technology, which is like, how do I go and like, rather than hiring an employee, set up like a Zapier integration that'll do like 90% of that employee's job. So that way I'm not like, you know, sending information back and forth. And then human, which is basically just like, you know, hiring an employee, like your time scales. The thing I would do, especially if you're a young listener right now, is just like lean into that content side. And I know this gets talked about a lot, so I'm not gonna try to make a whole episode about this, but like, if you can go and start sharing what you're working on, like the whole build in public element right now, it makes everything in your life so much easier. Like people want to work for you more. Like vendors will give you discounts on things, which is ridiculous. You'll get access to capital much easier. Like it just makes the rest of the ride so much smoother. Like we've literally gotten deals and opportunities out of freaking tweets and podcasts that we've put together, which is pretty crazy. So I don't know. I think, you know, don't over leverage things. Don't go and start like levering up to the hill, just trying to go and get wealthy quicker, because that's where like a lot of your empire and all the dominoes can kind of fall apart. But like definitely sprinkle in a little bit where you're thinking it help. Like if you want to build a big business, you have to hire employees. If you want to go and get access to like really high investors, like start sharing about some of the deals you're doing. If you want access to bigger deals, or you want to go and start a search fund and buy a business, like that's where the financial leverage all comes into play. So yeah, I don't know. I thought this would be kind of helpful in terms of like how I think about all of this. Also like worth noting that wealthy is so subjective. Like for me personally, like I feel like wealthy really probably means like a ridiculously high number, like I don't know, $100 million or something like that. Like that to me is like you have wealth, but for other people, like wealthy could literally be $500,000. Like for some people, wealthy is like $50,000. Like think about what that number is to you. And I think one thing that you can maybe go and use as like a resource that I've used in the past before is like Tim Ferriss's, like, I think it's called Dreamlining Template or something like that. It's from the 4-Hour Work Week, where he basically just goes and says like, here's how much I need to go and live. Here's how much I need to like live my aspirational life, and like kind of reverse engineer the numbers of like how much you have to make and how much you have to earn to go make it work for you. And I would say like the last thing that maybe end with here is like, try to find what that number is early on. And I know inflation sucks and cost of living goes up, but like try not to move that goalpost, right? If you think that like you need $60,000, $70,000 a year, and you find a way to go and get that on a consistent basis, maybe someone more passive, and you're super happy and you're content, and you're feeling good, like don't now suddenly say that you need $120,000, like, because at some point that number is just going to keep going up. And so just try to be a little bit disciplined there and feel happy with what you're doing. The big goal at the end of the day for all of this kind of stuff too, this is all financial advice. People want to be rich, people want to have financial independence and have wealth of cash and wealth of capital. But like, make sure you're just happy doing with what you're doing. So I hope this was helpful for someone. If it was, just let me know. Like, I really don't do rants like this too often. I've got a lot of ideas I would want to do rants on, but let me know and I'll be happy to go make another one, whether it's on how I think about relationships or time management, or I don't know. This is just the simple one that I think could maybe help some people as markets kind of turn in the next couple of months. So let me know what you'll think, and thank you guys again. If you thought today's episode was awesome, we would love it if you would leave a 5-star review on the podcast, either on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It makes a huge difference and lets us get cooler and cooler guests for future episodes.